Next misconception, and that is that referrals are weak practice-building medicine. I often hear this one from doctors who are under extreme financial pressure and are in the process of seeking out a paid advertising campaign. Well, let me tell you, this is simply not true. When you get your consumer offering right and you have ample peak time capacity, you can see your practice increase by 3 to 5 additional new referral patients each month to the practice. That's right. In 3 months, you could be up by 10 or more additional referrals each month, or total for that month. So if you're averaging 20 new patients per month, referrals alone could take you to 30 new patients per month in just 90 days. In fact, if you get your consumerism dialed in, your practice will grow at this pace, the one that I just mentioned, until you run out of peak time capacity. Referrals are not only not weak practice building medicine, but they must form the backbone of every practice, even the ones fielding significant media campaigns. To do otherwise creates tremendous strain on the advertising program. It's almost impossible to make paid advertising cost-effective without a strong referral following. An exception to this concept might apply to a practice that has categorically offended patients for years and has killed off its referral rootstock. This is a case where it's going to take marketing and referrals to facilitate a rapid recovery. All right, next. The drawn-out exam theory. In other words, I'll do a long, long, drawn-out examination and people will be impressed. When I hear a doctor tell me this, I cringe. This myth that the long, overly drawn-out exam will impress patients to the point that they'll refer probably started because some patients will comment at the end of a long exam that they've never had such an examination. Now, I don't want to go on and on about this, but let me just say that it hasn't resulted in referrals. I don't have a single practice using this approach that gets more than 10 referrals per month. My suspicion is that lengthy exams are a prelude to a huge case presentation followed by a hard close. I also suspect that the lengthy exam is designed to overwhelm the patient and to prepare them to buy a large comprehensive case. Anyway, forget it. That doesn't mean that you can't do a thorough exam. Just don't think that by itself it leads to large numbers of referrals ready to buy significant cases. All right, next, if you're not getting the referrals you need, start educating patients about the value of your treatment. I suppose this one could be classified with the drawn-out exam theory because it sort of works the same way. You're trying to sell patients something they don't want or trying to sell them more of something than they want. Never forget the two great referral axioms. You can't give patients enough of what they don't want, and you can't get better at giving patients what they don't want. This one is based on the idea that if you just explain to patients the quality and benefits of the comprehensive treatment that you're offering, they'll just throw their hands up and say, "You win," and give it up. The doctor that's reached this point of frustration, that is, the point to where they feel the problem is the patients and that they need to be sent to the re-education camps, they've missed an important point. You see, when patients aren't buying your recommendations, it all comes down to value or the communication of value. When a patient says no to your recommendations, or they say they'd like to get the whole enchilada, but then when they get to the front desk, they don't have the money, you have a value problem. Value is defined as the patient perceiving that it's cheaper to buy the treatment than not to buy it. One of the keys to value is the perception of severity. In other words, the patient hasn't agreed with your treatment recommendations because they don't think the problem's as serious as you're saying that it is. When you learn to communicate value, both from a severity standpoint and from a how this is going to affect your life standpoint, you're going to find that you have less interest in educating patients because you're no longer standing around with enough time to talk to people. If there's one observable difference between practices that are doing well and those that are struggling, it's that the practices that are doing well are overwhelmed with patients to treat, and the struggling practices are standing around trying to educate patients. I'm not against patient education, but watch out for the tendency to try to cover bad consumerism with a drawn-out case presentation about things that patients have little interest in. See, that's right. It's not them. It's you. You need to understand how to communicate value in your basic presentation. You see, that's actually good news. Once you get the big idea about value, the game's over. You don't have to turn this patient into a grad student. Just help them to see how serious the problem is and how it can affect them. After that, just stand back. You've done all that you can. All right, next.